Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. I'm having this broadcast a little earlier than I thought it would be. I have a conference call within the next hour. So anyway, let's talk about today on this broadcast on how to buy a new and pre-owned car, or used car, as some people call it. If you do have any questions, you can go ahead and put a question in the chat room, and I'll go ahead and answer the question on the air. Or you can just give me a call at 347-324-3460. Let's talk about car buying. As you know, this is the summer, and we're winding down an existing year, and we're going to another year. Models are starting to come out now. Some are out now. Some are be coming out in the next 3 months. Usually new cars will come out anywhere typically late April. Depends if it's an import or domestic, all the way up to September. If it's an import or European car, I know some imports start come out late April. They start trickling in. And the domestics usually come out at the end of the summer. Usually they start shipping in July. And European cars usually come out sometime in August or September. So those are the cycles for manufacturers, for domestic, import, and European. And to domestic, of course, is your Ford, your GM, and Chrysler. Your imports are your Japanese models, which is Honda, Subaru, Toyota, Nissan. European, of course, is Mercedes, BMW, Range Rover, Fiat, all those particular cars that's actually European. But sometimes they don't really classify the Fiat as a European car, but let's say for the sake that they're on that European cycle. So their buying cycle is totally different than ours. In this episode, I'm going to talk about how to buy a brand new, a pre-owned certified, and we'll talk about how to buy a used car. Three different classifications. And let's talk about the new car. Of course, a new car is issued directly to a franchisee, which is for example, Ford or GM dealership, franchisee, okay? Then you're buying it brand new, okay? And let me put a footnote, brand new is brand new, okay? Brand new typically in some states has to be a car that's under 7,000 miles, okay? Over 7,000 miles, some states are considered pre-owned cars or used cars or entitled cars, but they have mileage on there. Also, when it goes over a certain amount, for example, some states are 7,000, some states are 10,000, they're considered a used car, okay? Used car. Before then, it can be called a brand new car. Also, we're going to talk about untitled car, which you hear a lot about demos. So let me break it down on the new car perspective. We know what a new car is. It's brand new car. You usually have maybe a couple hundred miles on in order to get its rating. A couple of miles on it, maybe like anywhere. Typically, you see a new car will have right off the truck anywhere from 2 miles to 7 miles, typically, okay? And that's coming off the truck. They test the car. They drove it to make sure everything is working in order, and they put the label on the car for emissions. So it's not uncommon for you to have a brand-new car with maybe 100 miles on it. Depends if you stay in a large city. Large cities like Houston, Dallas, Los Angeles, Chicago, they're going to have a lot of traffic coming to the store, into their stores. So they're not going to. It's not uncommon for them to have 100 miles on them by the time you demo it. Maybe they, you know, if you look at a demo trip, they try to keep it down to 5 to 10 miles. So if you do, you really think about it, do the math, someone seeing this fleet of this particular car, especially if it's a popular color, like silver or black or something like that, well, several people probably drove that car. And because if they drove the that particular car, now they started accumulating miles on it. So typically you might see a car maybe 100 or 200 miles on it. That's not nothing wrong with it. It's because several people have driven that car for several reasons. They might want something similar to that car, that model, or they might want leather, or they want this or that. So it's not if we call it a used car from the use of imagination. Now, when you get up to 500 miles, you might want to start negotiating and ask them to deduct the miles off the car, especially if you get to 1,000. Yes, this is a new car, but this means someone has driven it either over the weekend, and some dealers will allow people with good credit to take the car for the weekend to see if they really love the car or try to get them attached to the car. So you will have some cars, maybe 500 to 1,000. We get to 1,000, you know, over 500, you should try and negotiate what the miles are. Have them to give you fairly after you negotiate. Say, hey, this car has 500 miles on it. I need you to give me 20 cents a mile or something like that. And usually I can say that if it makes sense. Okay, we still have the new. We're still on new. Let's talk about demos. Demos are cars that is allotted to management of dealerships, like a sales manager, also a general manager for the dealership or the service manager, and also for some salespeople. But let me footnote what the salespeople are. Usually they're top producers, and they allow them to drive the car as a demo, as an incentive for them to have a car. And when they actually have a particular car, you know, they ask, don't smoke in it, don't do this in it, take care of the car. They can't keep a lot of equipment in the car. They have to keep it real simple, because if you come to work in that car, the sales management, if it meets this particular customer's needs, they might ask to demo the car. So you have to keep the car clean. So kind of keep that in mind. That's what a demo is. It's an incentive that's always offered to the general sales manager. It's also offered to the car dealership manager, the general manager of the dealership, and also whoever the top producer is or the desk manager. So they have the option of having a used car, I mean a brand new car, and they call it a demo. Usually, typically, they have to get out of this car within 5,000 miles. The dealership actually will get a kickback from the manufacturer, because this is an incentive for the dealership and a particular salesperson. So they usually will give some money back to make up the difference of the mileage. And that's what they compensate them on, is the mileage. And that is a benefit to them. So if you're going to have a car around 5,000 miles, you need to check with your particular state. What does your state normally would classify as a used car? Okay, some states will classify it as 7,000, and once it's 7,000 untitled car, sometimes they will call it as a used car. So kind of keep that in mind when you do that. Make sure that the car that you're buying does not exceed that, because once you title the car, it's already depreciated because it's considered a used car. Let's go to certified. Now certified cars are cars that really, if you go back in the 90s, we had three different car rates. We had a new car rate, we had a certified rate, and we had a used car rate. And this is what happened with the manufacturers. Similar to what we have demos, it was taken from the concept of a demo. And they were giving, since the dealership had already taken care of this car well, they want to get new car rates. But it's really, they can't give new car rates it's not in their best interest to give new car rates to a car that has 5,000 miles on it. You've already used some of the warranty in it. You know, most cars were starting to get down 36,000 miles on the car, and you've taken 5 or 7,000 miles on it, the customer won't have that use of it. So what the manufacturer did instead, like Toyota, General Motors, okay, why don't we do this? And instead of giving you, for example, 5% what we get for a brand new car, we're going to give you 7%, which is a still attractive option you can go ahead and take. And however, we're going to throw in a warranty. We're going to expect this car, if the certified mechanic says that everything is good with the car, it's good tread, good this on the car, the car is clean, meets our standard as a qualified car, then what we can do is we're certified, we'll give you the close to new car rates, and instead of giving you 5%, we're going to give you 7 or 8%, okay? Usually it's 2 or 3 points above whatever the car rate is, typically for banking rates. So they allow that, but they also threw in to make sure nothing goes wrong with the car. They say, okay, since he's certified, we're going to carry this car up to 100,000 miles. And that gives you peace of mind. Not only if you buy the car, you shouldn't have any issues, okay? So you have a better banking rate. Also, you have a good interest rate, okay? Now let's go to the certified car. I mean, not the certified cars. Let's go to the pre-owned cars or the used cars. That can to range the gamut. But let me footnote back regarding the someone asked a question regarding the certified cars right here in the office. Certified cars are typically two things happen with certified cars. They all usually come from a demo. They use it for the customer who maybe had the car for maybe a few months or a year. They didn't like the car, and they wanted to trade it in. Some people are trading cars every single year, or they want to do it to try to get the mileage or get the best price they can get. Sometimes it's happened with luxury cars. They want to own the car. They will trade in a Lexus that's only a year old so they can get as much as they can, so they're only taking maybe a $3,000 hit, if that makes a difference. You have a $30,000 car you bought, for example. You know it's not going to depreciate a whole lot, but you might have some miles on it. And you may have 12,000 miles, which is typical nationally, or 15,000, and you're just going to lose $3,000. And they keep trading this car every single year. This is cost. They have a car every single year. They're happy with it. They just know that every single year or 15 months, they're going to end up coughing up as a balance, maybe $3,500. So, but they still own the car. And a lot of people just do that continuously. So if you do that, don't hold the car for 2 years. Hold the car for a year. No longer than a year and a half, so you can get as much as you can. You got much as you can off the car. You got what you wanted, so go ahead and trade it again. Especially luxury cars hold their value. That's to go for. Trucks don't. So if you have a BMW, you have a Mercedes, you have a Lexus, you have an Acura, those are good items, cars to trade in continuously every single year. After the 15 months, you will start seeing a significant depreciation. Won't depreciate in one sense of maybe a third or whatever, but you want to do this product quickly as possible. Now, if your car is free and clear, you can do this. If your car is not free and clear, then you have a different issue there. But you can probably get as close, as long as you have a low interest rate, it'll balance out the same. Pre-owned cars can be anything across the board. That's mean cars people trade in. Dealers do buy a lot of the inventory today off auctions. They buy from auctions or they buy from the customers, okay? Auctions usually give a certain underlying warranty. If there's major issues with a car and the dealership bought it as a lemon and you have taken it so many times in, you need to check with your lemon laws for your state, but you have to document every time something goes wrong. If you feel like there's going to be an issue, you document it. Get your little notebook and you document it every time something goes wrong. Every time you actually make a call to the dealership, you have to keep a log. Because if you're going to do your lemon act, you need to have proof, and they want record keeping proof that you've done this, this, and this. So if that's going to be an issue, you need to jump on that right away if something is wrong with that used car. So they only get it from two options. Either it's a trade-in, and you don't know what the history of the car there. Auctions, they do take a look at it briefly. They're not going to want to sell junk, but at certain certain auctions, sometimes there's some risk with a particular dealer of a cash car, that they know what they're going to be getting. So kind of keep that in mind. So that's new car. New cars, you also have demo cars or program cars. Okay, the next one you have certified. Certified give you a break on interest rate, and I'll give you a 100,000-mile warranty. And a pre-owned, those cars going to come from auctions. Those cars are going to come in trading customers. Now, if you look for any car, if you're going to want to take a look at the warranties for certified, they're great cars to buy, especially if you're going to try to buy for your kid that's going out of town, so you don't have to worry about it. All they have to do is call the warranty in, and they can go to any dealership across the United States if it's a certified car, and they will take care of it. You also, I will advise you on if it's a pre-owned car, try to get a warranty if you can. Well, typically it's a good warranty. A good warranty, if you have a car at 36,000 miles that just left the factory, expiration of that warranty, that's the good time to pick it up, because once you go beyond that, it's going to cost you more and more to get that warranty on that particular car. Typically, dealers like to see cars under 100,000 miles. If it's 100,000 miles, you just need to go straight to a private sale, because you're not going to get your money, because dealers can't sell cars over 100,000. They're not bankable. Anything really over 80,000, it gets really questionable, because the person that goes over 80,000 miles, if you sell them a car, they're going to have to be a good credit risk for a bank to buy it. So at 100,000, you can't get any warranty. You can't get any bank financing. So if you have a car you're going to trade it in just before your warranty, so you have a little leverage there and have another incentive when you negotiate with a dealer. Okay. Number two is the next breaking point. You want to do it at 50, and next breaking point you do it at 75. So at the 75, the clock is really ticking on the life of the car. Now, every car today, if you ask me 12 years ago, not necessarily domestic cars going to make 100,000, but now they will make 100,000 miles. You can get 100,000 miles out of the car. Okay, let's go run into some other questions that I've ran in the past at a dealership. When is the best time to buy a car? The best time to buy the car is going to be the last 15 days of the month or a holiday. Okay? The reason being is at the beginning of the month, the first day of the month, we're trying to close out the prior month. So there's not a lot of incentive for a manager to just give up a car unless he's really behind. Now, if he hasn't sold a car the first day, the pressure is on. He has to sell something. They have to sell something. If not, if you don't sell, you get fired at the end of the month. So it's a balancing act. I was a desk manager, and what we normally look at, we have to have a certain amount we have to get in profit per car at the end of the month. So first of all, I had 300 cars per month. I had to maintain 750 on average for every car that was sold. So I can take a loss, I can take profits, and usually balance off. As long as I keep within that 500 to 700 range, perfect. If I can get $1,200 per car on average, it's the better. But understand that if a dealer lets you walk off the lot, they at their bottom line. Now, two things you're gonna play chicken with. If you do that, I will say, okay, play the game with him. Walk off the lot and see what he says. If he lets you walk off the lot, this means he's at his bottom number or he's playing chicken. And kind of just go across the street, wait probably like 15 to 20 minutes. If he doesn't call you, he might be at his numbers for that particular day. He can't take any more hits. So maybe you can just go back and say, hey, I understand. But kind of level with him, say, hey, I understand. You know, I know you're trying to make a living, blah, blah, blah. Build a relationship with him. Just go straight to the manager and say, hey, I understand that. Let's do a car deal. And you will get your deal done. When you go into the car dealership, the best value you want to have for the car, you need to have a clean car. Don't take a dirty car there. Make sure that you have good tread on the tires. Make sure you buff out all the scratches. Make sure you get a wax. Clean the car to make it make ready, because it costs dealerships to make ready cars. Make ready means they have to go clean the cars, prep the cars for sale. Now, if you've done most of that work, it's a lot easier for you to negotiate and say, hey, the car's already clean. It's not much detailing they need to do. They might have to steam the clean the carpet. They might have to do some other stuff cosmetically, but it costs them less if the car is already there. You bring in a dirty car, then they're going to charge you for it because it costs pretty much anywhere from $100 to $600 per car for them to get it ready, for cleaned and everything else. So bring a clean car in. Don't bring in the cracked windshields if you want to get a good price for your car. Make sure you have good tread on your tires. Make sure cosmetically you look good. Make sure inside is clean. Make sure you have all the equipment, your warranty, your mats. Make sure you have your owner's manual. Make sure you have all those things there, and that will give you a better price on the car when you go and negotiate. When you walk in, now here's a couple situations. When you walk in, it's better that you walk in looking clean and neat than versus sloppy. And here's the thing is, people will judge you in the first 10 minutes. Now, it used to be in the 90s and the 80s, if you were in a country like Texas or in Nebraska, whatever. Well, we have farmers coming in with cash. People don't come in cash anymore. So they were trying to tell the salesperson, don't judge a person who's coming in, who's in their overalls looking dirty. They're coming with a suitcase of cash. And that was during the time they did come in a suitcase of cash. They will pay $30,000 because they worked hard for years saving up money. And they, some of them do have money. They're just real frugal. And they'll come with a suitcase of money to go buy a car. So don't judge that. And you will make money off them. The person will pay sticker. So if you come in there professional, come in clean. You don't have to come in a suit. But if you come in, look the part. Today, since we're a cashless society, you're not going to have that. You know, they'll judge you the way you come in. So if you want better customer service, you want to get the best deal, you go in to look like a buyer, and you will get the deal that you want. Another question here is add-ons from profits. Yeah, if a dealer add-on things, it's more profit to the dealer. So if they add the rims, don't go to the car with the rims. You know, buy your own rims. It's cheaper than buying it from the dealer. They will usually have one or two cars that they add. They load it up for some particular reason, and they're eventually going to take a loss anyway or send it to auction. There's some cars sit there for a whole year with the same freaking rims that people, some sales manager put on there, but they discount their car in the newspaper, and if they get that, the price they want, yeah, they'll sell it. But they're not going to get the price they want. So it is a ad to advertise that particular vehicle. But they'll say, we can advertise the vehicle, but they won't include the rims. And they will say on the sticker that it does not include the rims. Okay? But then they're not willing to take it off either. Okay, what's the best time to buy a car? Like I said, the last 15 days of the month is the best time to buy a car. Because then it's a balancing act. They need to catch up with their numbers. If they have a if the desk manager have 100 cars per month, he needs to move out on his paper, and he's still keeping his averages, either 200 or 300, whatever. Kind of keep that in mind. That's the time to buy the car, from the 15th to last day of the month. On a Saturday, if you're the first person in on a Saturday, it's a good time, because what happened is if you go there ready with all your homework, they're willing to get you out. They want to get someone started to get their day started. So they would treat the first two or three customers extremely well and try to get you out, because they want to get you out of the way so they can have other customers come in, because the high traffic times are from 11 to 2. So they can get you out of the way and get you out. That's when it's time to buy the car. Now take the reverse throughout the day. By the time you get to 3 o'clock, the sales manager already have pretty much made his numbers for the day, some of them. And now they're balancing act on, they have to keep their numbers up for their copy. Copy, which means how much profit they made overall for that particular day, or they look at their average for the whole particular month. If they, after 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, then they start to get stingy. Now, here's the opposite. If you come to a car dealership at 8 o'clock, they know you're going to come there to buy because you've been shopping all day. So at 8 o'clock at night, you make it easy for them as well, because they want to go home, because you could be there to negotiate with them for 30 minutes to an hour. Then you're going to sit there and finance, because you're probably almost the last person to go in, and you're going to be there for an hour, okay? So when you come in there, come be prepared, come there with your money and so forth, be ready to do a deal and get out. And they will probably give you a good deal because they want you to get out so they can go home. I can tell you, I've been there at 1 o'clock in the morning, I had to lock up in the middle of nowhere, and my Saturday night is gone and I'm tired. So that's also a good time to buy beginning of the day, quite in the middle of the day, before 3 o'clock, and at the end of the day on a Saturday if you're going to buy a car. Okay. A couple other tips real quick. What's the best way to get a good deal? Go there prepared. Go there with a clean car. Go there with some clean credit. Discuss when you sit there and negotiate. Remember, you're going to negotiate. The first thing you always want to do is to look online and price the cars throughout your particular your city. Put an internet lead in there, okay? That's how most people buy a car today, and see what the prices are and read the details on what they're offering. Some people will go to the person who's nice to them. Go to the place that you're going to get the good service with. Don't go to the person who's going to give you the cheapest car. You got to balance that out. You need to have good service, because something happens, you're going to have to fight with a dealer. Look at the dealer ratings. Look at the factory ratings. Look at the ratings of the car. Here's one thing. When I bought a car, I looked at the ratings of the dealer because I know I'm going to be treated. Also, look at the ratings on the car. What type of problem, especially if you have a used car, certified car, what type of problems you're going to have? I remember buying a 2003 Mercedes ML350. I looked before I bought the pre-owned car to find out exactly what the issues I'm going to face. And I found out the issues I'm going to face. The car was only a year old. The issue is people said they complain about the ashtray sticking. Well, I'm not a smoker, so I really didn't care about the ashtray stick. It still sticks today. And they replaced it. So they talked about, hey, you're going to get these annoying things on the car, like the panel on the back is going to plastic is going to kind of peel off. So they replace that. So, you know, those things will tell you realistically what you're going to deal with the car that the manufacturer you can't find anywhere else. But look at the reviews. Dig through them. Look for the valid stuff. Profit on new cars. They don't make a lot of profit on a new car. So that's kind of dead. You go in there, ask for an invoice. And let me discuss holdback real quick. Holdback is additional profit for the dealer. If you go to Edmunds and you look at your particular invoices and you take the dealer invoices, each region have advertising fees and franchise they pay for each region, for one for advertising, also for the particular region promotions. Okay, that marketing fee, if you see on the invoice, is for those promotions they give out particular regions to move cars or give incentive to cars. That's built in the cost of the car on the invoice, and it is a real cost. However, if you take all those profits out and it's called triple net, you take the advertising, you take the holdback is just extra money for the dealership. It's only maybe 1 or 2%. When you do that, it's just more, you know, if you do that, you end up with triple net. That's a raw figure. You have no place to go. That doesn't mean don't ask for top dollar for your particular car. When they give you a triple net, it's a done deal. And usually when they give you a triple net, it's like 8 o'clock at night because they need a number. Or they might give you a triple net at the beginning of the day. They're not going to give it to you in the middle of the day. Depends on how their numbers are. But they give it to you at the beginning of the day or they give it to you at night. That's the only time they'll probably give triple net. I mean, they make nothing off the car. It's just a number. However, they're going to ask you to give them a good survey. That's valuable to them because they get a bad survey, get a good survey. Incentives are to have good surveys. So anyway, that's your edge on a particular car is regarding your survey. So anyway, I'm going to close everything out. I didn't take a break or anything. I only want to keep this episode for 30 minutes. I'm going to continue this on tomorrow. But everybody, thank you for listening today. It's Tim with the Core Business Show, and I'm going to do part two tomorrow and go into a little bit more details about the car. Have a great day and take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.